The front door opened into a long, narrow hallway that stretched all the way to the back of the house, where a glass door spilled dazzling sunlight onto polished wooden floors.
"We're home, chérie,"
the doctor called, and steered Enzo off to their left into a large, square dining room with a door leading through to a farmhouse-style kitchen. A slim woman with long chestnut curls appeared in the kitchen doorway. She wore a maroon apron over jeans and a white blouse, sleeves rolled up to her elbows.
"Hi, darling," she said. "Lunch won't be long."
"Elizabeth, this is Monsieur Enzo MacLeod. He's a private police scientifique, come to reopen the investigation into the Killian murder."
"Oh."
Elizabeth Servin wiped her hands on her apron and stepped into the room to shake Enzo's hand.
"I'm pleased to meet you, monsieur," she smiled. "I'm never very sure whether it would be better to solve the Killian case or to bury it. It's a little like Killian himself. Dead, but keeps coming back to haunt us."
Enzo became aware that she was still holding his hand. Longer than he might have expected. But she was in no way self-conscious about it, and so he did not feel ill at ease.
"Well, I hope I won't be stirring up too many ghosts."
She laughed and released his hand. A handsome woman with wide cupid bow lips and lively dark eyes.
"You never know, Monsieur MacLeod, with Halloween just around the corner."
She glanced at her husband.
"Why don't you two sit in at the table? The girls will be back any minute."
The table looked as if it might have been in the family for generations, its dense wooden surface scarred and burned and stained by countless meals. Who knew how many souls had sat around it, eating and drinking across the years? How many dramas and conversations it had witnessed? Enzo remembered his father telling him how he had been laid out on his kitchen table as a boy to have his tonsils removed by the family doctor. But it was not a thought conducive to sharpening the appetite, and he quickly banished it. Mats and crockery now littered the Servin table, two sets of condiments, a large grec, and cloth napkins laid at each place. The smells coming from the kitchen were delicious. Dressers were pushed up against blue walls beneath paintings and family photographs, and a large brass lamp hung low over the table from the ceiling. But its light was not required. Sunlight tumbled through the open kitchen door, and the room seemed to glow in its reflection.
"I suppose you must feel right at home here on the island," Alain Servin said. "A Celt among Celts."
Enzo was no longer surprised by how much people seemed to know about him.
"I do. Gwar feels like any west coast Scottish island to me, particularly yesterday when I arrived in the rain." "Ah, yes, the famous Scottish rain. Is that why you went to live in the south of France, monsieur? To escape it?"
Enzo laughed.
"Yes, I'd spent so many years in the rain I was starting to go rusty."
He took his napkin from its holder and unrolled it.
"And what about you, doctor? A fellow Celt?"
"Near enough. My family came from the Paris area originally, but I'm island-born and bred. The only time I spent away from the place was at medical school and earning my stripes as an intern at various hospitals."
He nodded toward the kitchen.
"Elizabeth, on the other hand, can trace her island roots right back to the 15th century."
This audiobook is continued on Disc 3. Disc 3.